intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing.
All things are working for my good.
'Cause she's intentional. Hey, and he's never failing. All things are working for my good.
He's intentional.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment. And I definitely do thank God for your being with us today. This is Prophetess Campbell, and I am your host. So today's show is live, and I'm happy to say that I'm really looking forward to hearing from you guys. I haven't been able to hear from you in a while, so if you do want to call in to chat today, that number is 888-627-6008. Again, if you want to call in to chat, talk about the goodness of God, tell us your testimonies, encourage your brother or your sister who is listening on today. That number is 888-627-6008. So today's show topic is preparing for the promise. That is preparing for the promise. Many of us have been shown things by God, and God has revealed some things to us that he wants to do for us and through us and in us. And much like Abraham, there is some preparation that goes along with receiving those things that God has shown us. And sometimes we don't like it, and sometimes it doesn't feel good, it doesn't look good. Most of us don't like the process. And I know that 2 weeks ago we talked about the prelude to a miracle, but now we want to talk about the preparation for things that God has shown you. Not necessarily a miracle, you know, not those things that are just completely supernatural, but things that God has just shown you that he wants to do in you. For some of us, you know, he may have shown you that he wants to give you a business. Well, there's preparation that goes into that. For some of us, he may have shown you that you can have children, or you will be able to raise a family. There's preparation that goes into that as well. For many of us, he's shown us you'll be married, or you'll be married again for those of us who are divorced. There is preparation even for that. So like Abram, we want to talk about some of those tenets that go into the preparation. So today we'll be coming from the book of Genesis. We're going to be at the 12th chapter, but I want you guys to have your Bible or your devices ready, because we may do some thumbing through scripture today, because you get a better understanding most often when you're able to actually see some things with your own eyes. We all learn differently. We all learn in various ways. But for some, you know, actually seeing it with your own eyes, not just hearing it and hearing somebody talk about the scriptures, can help us to get a better understanding and help us to be able to keep up with it. That way you can go back to it later on, read it aloud so that you can hear yourself speaking these words, not just into the atmosphere, but into your own hearing. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to increase your faith, you want to increase your faith in the word, you want to increase just your faith in general, so that you'll be able to understand and do some things better, because you know what it means now, because you get it now. Then you have to be able to speak that word of God aloud, hear it over and over again, get it down into your spirit so that you'll be able to believe and see the things that God wants to do with you and for you even the more. So go with me in your Bibles to Abram, the 12th chapter. And as you're doing that, we're going to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God. God, we glorify you and we magnify you because you see all and you know all. God, we thank you right now for your word and you're helping us, Lord, to be prepared for those things that you have promised unto us. We thank you, God, because you keep your promises. We glorify you, God, because everything that you've told us you're going to do, you've already done it. And God, we know that your word won't return unto you void. We know, God, that you cannot lie. And you will not lie. So therefore, God, everything that you've shown us, we know that it is going to come to pass. God, we know that it is already done in the heavenlies. We know it's already done in heaven, God, because you told us so. God, we're just waiting for the manifestation in the natural realm. Down here in this earthly realm, God, we're just waiting for it to show up. In the name of Jesus, we just glorify you now, God, for everybody who's on the call on today, God, for everyone who is listening, God. Bless them, God. Increase their faith, O Lord. Help us to be prepared, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. For those who may be sick on today, O God, touch their bodies, God. Touch their minds, God, for those who have illnesses in the mind, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, touch our hearts in the name of Jesus. And God, we just glorify you and we thank you in advance, God, for all that you are doing in us and through us. God, thank you for all that you are doing in and through this ministry. Thank you, God, for blessing us, God. Bless the families who are even represented who are listening on today, God. Bless those who are an extension to us, God. Let them be able to see that light of love that shines within us because of you, oh God. Help people to see a change in us, oh God. Help them to see you through our lives, God, in our walk and in our talk and everything that we do, oh God. You bless us, God, to be a blessing unto other people. God, we just thank you and we praise you. We count these blessings done by faith. It is our confession that they are already done. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we are at Genesis, the 12th chapter. And we're going to talk about Abram, whose name later became Abraham. In our topic on today, preparing for the promise. Genesis 12, I'm reading from the Amplified version of the old trusty today. I'm not utilizing the internet, but I'm actually utilizing the book. Amen. And the Bible reads, Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Amen. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. May he add a blessing unto us as we continue to read and understand his scripture. Now, looking back at this, going back to Genesis 12, beginning at the first verse, when the Lord told Abram that he wanted him to leave his country, leave your relatives, leave your father's house, and I am going to take you and show you someplace that you don't even know about yet, but what I want you to do is just obey me. Now, we know throughout scripture, as we said before, God has made many promises and he's kept them. Even in our own lives, we know God has made us promises and he's done everything that he told us that he was going to do just because he's faithful. Not always because we're faithful, but just because he's a faithful God. He is faithful to perform his word. Even when we're thinking about the processes and things that God is taking us through, We sometimes forget processes are not always convenient. Processes are not always easy, but it's a part of that preparation. So in that process, you might have to do something that may make you uncomfortable. So as we're focusing on these different tenets of preparation, the first one again is obedience. It's simple obedience. Now, again, since I want to hear your feedback, remember, you need to call me back at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I want to hear your feedback in regard to just obeying God, trusting him when you can't even trace him, when you don't even know where it is that God is taking you and what he's doing. I want to hear your testimonies about just having a blind faith like Abram had. First and foremost, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 and 22 that obedience is better than sacrifice. So because of the magnitude of the way that God wanted to bless Abram and the way that God wants to bless us, this is bigger than you. Abram, this is not just about you. I want to be a blessing to you, your household, your extended family. I want to be a blessing to the children that you don't even have yet. But you got to get away from your norm. You got to get away from your kinfolks. You've got to get away from your comfort zone. Because what I want to do for you is bigger than where you are right now. What I want to do for your household and your children's children is bigger than that. I want to make your name great. I don't want to just give you some stuff. I want to bless you so swell that you can be a blessing to other people. Now, you all know we can't be a blessing to anybody else when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. How can you give somebody else some money if you don't have any? How can you pay your tithes and offering if you don't have any? So we have to allow God to bless us for us to be able to do those things. And many of us feel like, well, Lord, I'm already making some sacrifices. But for what it is that God wants to get to you and what he wants to get through you, you're going to just have to come out from among those same old friends. You're going to have to come out of those same old hangout spots. You're going to have to come out of what has become your comfort zone. You're going to have to come out of that same old attitude, that same old negative attitude, that same old mentality. You're going to have to come out of some foolishness. You're going to have to come out of that mentality of, well, you know, I'm just here to survive. I'm just trying to make it. That's not what God wants for you, to just barely survive and just barely make it. God wants to do a new thing in you. But in order for you to do that, you're going to have to come out from what you've been doing to get something better. You're going to have to come out from how you've been talking to get something better. You're going to have to come out from how you've been living to get something better. Come out from those same old things that you're constantly doing, those same old habits that you keep saying, "Ooh, I got to stop doing this." And we all have them. Praise God. We all have them. But we got to stop doing those same old things on those same old cycles to get to what it is that God truly has for us. Because if we don't, then we're not just hindering ourselves. We're hindering everybody in our house. You're hindering your children. You're hindering those nieces and nephews that look up to you and want to be like you when they grow up. You're hindering the people who see you on your job, who want to be in your position, who are trying to get to where you are. You're hindering those neighbors who may be watching you and just looking at your life and not necessarily knowing what it is that's different about you. But if you don't make the changes that God is requiring of you, you can't get to what he has for you. And you're not just hindering you. It's not about you. It's about everything that he wants to do through you. It's about everything that he wants to do with you, not just what he wants to do for you. Because believe me, the blessings that God has for Abraham are much bigger than what he already has. Yeah, it's a blessing to him, but it's so much bigger than what you can see right there in front of you. It's so much bigger than what you've been doing all this time. It's so much bigger than what you're used to and what you've done in the past and how you've done it in the past. Sometimes we get so stuck on what we've already done and what we've already know that we can't even listen. We don't even want to listen to what it is that God is saying. But Abram is our example on today, that once you come out of that same old, and just obey God, No, I know you might not realize where it is that he's taking you right now. I know you may not realize what he wants you to do right now. But if he's saying move, then move when God says move. Go when God says go. Do what God says do when he says to do it. Because you know if you don't do anything, that's still disobedience. If you just sit still, that's still disobedience. In order for you to get what God has for you, you are required to obey. You're required to just do what he tells you to do. And I know that there may come a time that you might miss your family. But God's got something for you. There might come a time that you might miss some of those friends. But God's got something for you. All you have to do is just do what he tells you to do, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you know the entirety and the end of it all and the details in between, that doesn't matter. All you're required to do is just do what God says to do. Whether it feels good, whether your flesh likes it. And for my single people who are listening, whether your flesh likes it or not, whether it feels good at the moment or not, whether you have to get your flesh to subject to the word of God, you might not like it. You might feel lonely. You might feel like, oh my goodness, but it's just so much better when there's a warm body next to me in this bed. No, that's not what God is calling us to do. That's not who God has called you to be. Just somebody with a warm body in a bed. And y'all know I'm just being real today. A lot of times we do things for the wrong reasons and we do things in the wrong way. But God is requiring, if you want to get this blessing that I have for you, if you want this husband or this wife that I have on the other end for you, then you have to simply obey. For those who may be looking for new employment, if you want this job that I have for you, I know right now you're working real hard and you're going through some physical labor that you don't even feel like doing. I get that. But if you want to get to the job that I have for you, just obey. If you want this house that I have for you, you're going to have to take care of the little apartment that you have now. You're going to have to keep it clean. You're going to have to pay your bills on time because I'm taking you somewhere. But there is a process for you to get to this stage. So all you have to do is just obey me. Now, it doesn't feel good when you had to pay your bills on time and everybody else is being entertained and going to the movies and doing other things with their money as you look around. But God might not have shown them the same thing that he showed you. What God has for you is much bigger than where you are right now. Don't let your temporary situation cause you to miss out on the long term that God has in store for you. Don't let how you feel right now with you not having a mate cause you to end up with Mr. Right Now instead of Mr. Right and miss out on what God has for you. Don't let your longing and your need, my brothers, for companionship cause you to just take the next thing that comes by in a tight skirt. That's not what God has for you. The promises that God has for you are so much bigger and so much better than your current situation. And we have to just stop sometime and say, okay, I got to get away from these folks. I got to get away from these other things. I need to just obey God. Just obey God. Just do it. Because God has something for you. Now, the second thing that we want to talk about is integrity. When God is preparing you for a promise, and as you are preparing for the things that God has shown you, you must have integrity. Somebody's thinking, now, how does this relate from a biblical standpoint? I'm so glad you asked. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. It's about having virtue. See, we always talk about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 as it relates to women and the things that women should be doing. But all of God's children are required to be virtuous. It means having decency. It's a state of being whole and undivided. Integrity is about cohesion. And what are we going to be cohesive with? Cohesive with the word of God. Integrity is about togetherness and solidarity. And the way that Abram had to have integrity, and the way that God showed his solidarity with Abram, was in covenant. Now, we talk about the word covenant quite often, but the covenant that God had with Abram is found in Genesis, the 17th chapter, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. Genesis, the 17th chapter. We're going to talk about covenant. I'm going to give you time to turn there. The covenant that God had with Abram was very specific. The covenant that God had with Abram was an outward sign. In Genesis 17, we're going to begin at the 10th verse. And the Bible reads, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." Now, the Bible talks specifically about different covenants, but this covenant is his covenant with Abraham, and not just Abraham, but him, his household, and his children to come. So many people think about circumcision and just think, oh my Lord, it's not just about a physical circumcision. When we think about the circumcision that God spoke to Abraham about, it was not just an outward sign, but it was also a reminder that represented the acceptance of the covenant of the mind, including the willingness to obey the laws within the covenant. It means doing what you're supposed to do, no matter who's watching. That's what integrity is all about. When God told Israel to circumcise the foreskin of your heart and then be stiff-necked no longer, now that's found in Deuteronomy 10 and 16. This meant to remove your stubborn, sinful thoughts from your minds. And that's what God wants us to do. Remove all those stubborn old thoughts, that same old, that get over spirit, that, well, if don't nobody see me and don't nobody catch me, or what the song used to say back in the day, if you didn't come and tap me on my shoulder, it wasn't me. No, because everything that's done in the dark comes to the light. We have to do what's right, people of God, no matter who's watching. The covenant that God had with Abram was about purging sin from your life. The actual circumcision was just a sign. But it was about purging sin from your life and obeying the laws of God. Circumcision doesn't mean anything, by the way, if you don't keep God's commandments. See, you can do the outward sign. It's just like for us, that's baptism. Our current representation today of circumcision is baptism. And you can find that in Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. What we have to do when we're baptized is put off the old man. Let the old man die. We're putting off sin. We're putting off this flesh and this natural man who may want to do or desire to do all kinds of things, and then be buried with Christ in baptism. That's what our circumcision is today. So what God wanted Abram to do was simply have integrity. This is going to be your outward sign. This is the covenant. This is the agreement that we have. You're going to do the right things. But the outward sign, your outward sacrifice, is going to be putting off sin. Because let's be honest, to the flesh, to the natural man, sin feels good. To the natural man, sin is no big deal. And see, that's another reason that we have to come out from among those kinfolks and come out away from those friends and come out of our old situations most often is because those people are the ones that will easily remind us, well, you know, when you were over here, this is what you were doing. But when we walk in that newness, once we become saved, when we walk in this new life, when we become Christians, when we give our lives to God, the outward show of our inward belief is baptism. But the real proof is in what you do when you come up out of the water. Older people used to say, don't go down in the water and come back up. You're going from being a dry devil to a wet devil. No, we have to actually make changes. So Abram's outward sign was the circumcision of him and all of his generations. Our outward sign is baptism. But the integrity in all of that is not just putting on a show for people, but actually living this life and doing the things that we're supposed to do, no matter who's looking. The integrity in all of this is, am I still saved when the church folks ain't around? Am I still walking and talking and acting like a godly woman when nobody from church is looking? Because God sees you all the time. That's the mistake that we make. A lot of times we want to put on a show for people, but God sees us all the time. So we want to be whole and undivided and cohesive with the word of God. That's what integrity is all about. Our solidarity is in being aligned with who it is that God has called us to be. Our integrity comes from doing what's right, no matter who's watching, no matter how we feel about it, no matter what it looks like, no matter whether or not we can go and hang out with everybody else and do the things that everybody else is doing, or dress like and look like everybody else, act like everybody else, talk like everybody else. No, we're different. God has called us out from that. And so because of that, there has to first be an outward sign, but the life that you live every day is your continual sign of who it is that you say you are. Because see, we can get up in church and testify all day long. And we get up and we have these canned speeches for how we get up and testify, and, you know, how we first give an honor to God, who is the head of my life. Is he truly? We start out like that, and that's what we say. But in preparing for the promises of God, we have to be real and honest with ourselves. It first starts with saying, okay, I do have an issue. Lord, I need you to help me with this. I don't want to just go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. I don't want to just say that I'm doing certain things and it's not really who I am. Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's not who I want to be. That's not who you called me to be. You've called me for so much more. You've called me for things that are so much bigger. And it's not just about me, but it's about my household, my children, my neighbors, my extended family members, the people on the job who may be watching. It's about all of those things. And I can't even let you get this blessing to me because I'm faking and shaking. Because I'm pretending. Lord, that's not who I desire to be. We all have issues. But when we are honest with ourselves, God can help us. When we're honest enough to say, okay, Lord, there are some things in my life that need to be cut away. There are some things in my life that I need you to remove. There are some things in my life, God, I need you to help me with. I have some desires that are not like you. And I know that they're from the enemy, but I just don't know what to do with them. When you are honest with God and you're able to go before him and just say, Lord, help me, when you don't know what else to say, this is how you prepare for the promise, not by pretending it doesn't exist. This is how you prepare for the promise. For those who have drinking problems, the first way that they get healed is by admitting that they're an alcoholic. The first way that they get delivered is by admitting that they have a problem. Because usually when you have a problem, ego won't allow you to admit it. Especially a problem of that magnitude. That's embarrassing. At first, it started out when you were just fitting in. People with drug problems. It started out where they were just, you know, trying to be the cool kid at the party for some people. For some people, it was, well, I just needed something to help me to, you know, boost up in the morning. For some people, well, I was just so depressed and I was just trying to get away from my pain. But when you came down off the high, it was there anyway. We need to have some honest conversations sometimes with our children. And just tell them, no, mommy's not perfect. Mommy was never perfect. I had some issues. But forgive me for those things that I did while I wasn't being a mother to you. Fathers need to go back to their sons and say, son, you know, forgive me for not being a father to you. I have some things in my life that I need to get rid of. And God is helping me and God is blessing me in all of that. But you got to be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Realizing that you do have some things that you've got to get rid of. We all do, saints of God. That's what integrity is all about. When you can say, this is going to hurt. Because circumcision hurts. It's painful. Cutting away of your natural flesh hurts, as well as cutting away of your physical flesh. Because like I said, there are some simple things that feel good to your flesh. It's going to hurt you to let that go. It's going to hurt you to let him go. It's going to hurt you to tell him to move out of your house and you know you ain't married to him anyway. Because now you're going to have to foot some bills. Now it may not be a warm body next to you when you tell her she need to go back to her own house. But, you know, she was just sleeping over. That's not what God has called you to do. And it's not who God has called you to be. It hurts when you alone at night and nobody to talk to and ain't nothing on TV. It hurts when you feel like you're going through something and nobody understands. It hurts when you can't go out and do what everybody else is doing, when everybody else can go to the party and you can't go. It hurts when you have to stand alone and just be who God has called you to be. Sometimes it hurts. It does not feel good. That's the reality of it all. But what you have to remember is the big picture. What you have to remember is the promise. What you have to remember is that getting rid of all of those things is just preparation for what God has for you. It does not feel good. It doesn't feel good when everybody else brings a date to the party, when everybody else brings a date to the work function. It doesn't always feel good. But if you know that God has called you for something bigger and better, you ain't just hanging out with Slick Willie. Because you don't have to. You ain't just hanging out with the first thing they call you and ask you to go somewhere. Because you don't have to. It might not feel good. God knew that. That's why it's a sacrifice. But God has something bigger. He has something better. It hurts when you have to pay all your bills on time. And your checking account is now down to just a few dollars to put some gas in the car to keep going to work the next time. But you're on your way somewhere. He's got something for you. It doesn't always feel good to do the right thing. Not in your flesh, but in your spirit. You get stronger with every no. Every time you resist the devil, with every time you don't answer that text message, with every time you don't answer that booty call at night, every time you say no, you get a little bit stronger and it gets a little bit better. And just like the physical circumcision from the spiritual circumcision, you will heal. You will heal. It's going to be all right because God's got something bigger for you. He's got something better for you. So do the right thing because that's what God has called you to do. Do what he told you to do. Just obey. Have integrity. keep God's covenant, keep God's commandment, be whole in Jesus' name, be undivided in Jesus' name, have virtue in Jesus' name. Be able to stand and look somebody in the eye because you know you're doing the right thing. So it doesn't matter what they think. In Jesus' name. That's who God has called you to be. That's what God wants from you. And it's not just because he's bored and doesn't have anything to do. He's trying to get a blessing to you. He's taking you somewhere. He's doing something in you and through you. Not because he wants you to just look different and be that kid who just doesn't seem to fit in. But because he has a plan for you. We talk often about Jeremiah 29:11. He has an expected end for you. Your greater is coming. Your blessing is on the way. So therefore, the next thing that you have to do is trust him. The third tenet of preparation is trusting God. God, I trust you when I can't even trace you. I trust you when I can't see my way. I trust you, God, because you have not failed me. You told me you were going to do something for me. You told me you were going to do something in me, and not just me, but those who are an extension of me. Think about this. In Genesis, the second chapter, the 18th verse, when God makes mention of him not wanting man to be alone. Go with me there. Genesis, the second chapter. Looking at the 18th verse, I believe it is. Now the Bible reads, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now, do you notice in the 19th verse that the Lord goes on doing other things? Do you notice that in the 19th verse, after God said that he was going to make Adam a helper, the first man, he said he was going to make somebody for him. He said he was going to give him a mate. And in the 19th verse, the Lord starts making animals. He's making the beast of the fields. He out there making cows and giraffes and all these other things. And then he started making birds. He gave the man a job. He gave him dominion over these animals and told him, well, here, this is your job. You name these animals. And everything that man said that they were going to be, they were. So he's out there naming the animals. Let him go back to work. Let him do some other things. And it was not until the 21st verse where God then caused a deep sleep to come upon man. And he took the rib from his side in order to begin to create Eve. Even from the beginning of time, there was preparation to God's promises. It amazes me when I think about it, because sometimes we don't like preparation. We don't like processes. We don't like waiting. And we definitely don't want to be patient about anything. But God said he was going to provide a mate for him. God said he was going to provide a helper. And then he goes back to making animals. Now, see, when you look at this from the woman's standpoint, by the time she gets on the scene, the man has everything that he needs. To the man, though, Lord, you told me you were going to do something, and I'm out here naming animals. And I'm sure he's looking around thinking, well, is this it? No, that one ain't suitable for me. And looking at a giraffe, is this it? No, this one ain't suitable for me. This can't be what God promised. And that's what we do sometimes. God promises us something. He shows us something. And here comes past Mr. Right Now. Brothers, God show you something and tell you that he going to bless you with a good thing. He going to bless you with a wife. And here come fast Felicia sliding by your way, twisting. And you looking, saying, Lord, is that it? That ain't it. That ain't a good thing. That's just fast Felicia. What I'm saying is this. Don't get distracted in the process. You have to trust what God has told you. Trust what he showed you. Don't get sidetracked with the next cute thing that come past that seems to be saying all the right things when you know that God has made you a promise. Don't get distracted by what's going on around you and by the fact that he told you to keep working, but he promised you this big house. You got to keep paying bills to get the big house. You got to keep on cleaning your apartment to get the big house. Man might not have understood the time in between from the time God promised him. But by the time Eve got there, everything she needed was right there. Because God knew the big picture. And brothers, God know us. When Eve comes on the scene, not only did she have the man, but she had a place to live. He had dominion. He had a job. He had a relationship with God, most importantly. So that's a lesson for both parties. Brothers, there's some preparation before you get to your promise. You need to have those things in line. Start with your relationship with God. He is your source. And then he had a resource. He had a job. He had a place to live. He already had dominion and authority. You need to know who you are in God before that promise of that wife or that good thing comes along. Don't get distracted with fast Felicia passing by. You got to have yourself in order. This is why you have to trust God, because he already knows the end result. He knows the big picture. He knew Eve was going to get here like, wait a minute, where are we going to live? God already knew all of that. And because of what he wants to do for Eve, we need to have certain things in order when we get there. We are not comfortable. We don't feel secure if you don't have a job. We don't feel secure if you're sleeping at your mama's house because we're not sure that you're going to know how to take care of us or pay bills. We don't feel secure if all of those things are not already aligned. But when God did create her, the Bible says that God pulled her, or he pulled a rib from Adam's side to make her. Notice, he didn't pull her from under his feet. And he didn't pull some bones from his back. But he pulled the rib from Adam's side. And why is that? This is where Adam begins to say that, you know, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is woman. Now I want to give her my name. Because she is somebody who was suitable. See, he didn't give the giraffe his name. He didn't give the camel his name. He didn't give an elephant his name. But the woman, or the womb man, he gave his name because he could see, oh, yes, this is suitable for me. Now I see what God was doing. Now I see why I had to just go back to work and do what God called me to do. Because he had something just for me. He had something suitable for me. He had something fit for me. The woman was created as a complement to man. She's an integral part of man. She is a powerful and influential companion for a man, not an animal. No, you're going to name the animals. You got a job. You got some authority. But the one that you give your name, let her be suitable. Let her be an influential companion. The one that you give your name, let her be an integral part of your life. When you give her your name, make sure that she is fit to carry your name. Sisters, when you take on somebody's name, make sure he has a relationship with God. Make sure that he knows who he is, and make sure he knows whose he is. When you take on somebody's name, and this is what God has promised to you, make sure this brother has a job. Make sure he already knows how to take care of you, because he's been taking care of himself. See, suitable means more than just fit. Suitable means more than just appropriate. It goes far beyond that. That's just a smaller version. But she was also contrasting. This means that these two beings were designed to fit together perfectly, not just physically, but in all ways. Make sure that the person, brothers, that you give your name fits with you perfectly in every way, not just the physical, because we can get that anywhere. Sisters, make sure that when you take on somebody's name and you allow the man to give you his name, make sure that he is perfect for you in every way. Just having a job is not enough. Just having a relationship with God is not enough. Well, he's kind of cute. No, that's not enough. That doesn't make him perfect for you. Make sure that he is suitable in every way before you take his name. With man and woman as companions, each of their strengths compensated for the weaknesses of the other. Where she might have been weak, he was strong. The areas where he might need help, she was right there. And no, we're much better together than we are alone. Brothers, he might have lost a rib, but he gained so much more. Oftentimes, because of other negative people around us, we may not look at the union of marriage and man with woman in the way that we always ought to. But it's so much more than just somebody putting a ring on your finger and making a covenant before God and other people saying, I will do this and I will do that. It's so much more. Make sure that this is the person that God sent for you. Make sure that this is the person that God promised you. Because see, when a person doesn't know the reason for a thing, they very often abuse a thing. If a man doesn't know that God sent this woman to be his helpmeet and his companion, very often he will abuse her. And it may not always be physical. Sometimes it's just mental abuse, but that's too much. Sometimes it's emotional abuse. Sometimes people will verbally abuse you because they really don't realize that God sent you. So they can't appreciate you. Make sure that this person is that perfect fit for you. And not just physically, because that's where our natural minds want to always go. When you are trusting God, you won't just accept anything. You won't just accept the first one that comes along. You won't just accept the first person that says, hey, marry me. Okay, let's do it. Hey, you know, I got bills. You got bills. Let's go and get together. Okay, let's go and shack up. No. When you're truly trusting God, even when you can't necessarily see everything that he's doing and where he's going, when you can't see all of what he wants to do in you and through you, yeah, sometimes that will cause us to be distracted, but you have to trust him when you can't trace him. The Bible reads in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You just trust him. Just trust him in every situation. This is all a part of your preparation for the promise. Just trust him. Do what he says to do. Obey him. Have integrity. Be honest with yourself. The 4th thing is discernment. Discernment is the perception, even in the absence of judgment, with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. It's the ability to decide between truth and error, to decide between right and wrong. It's the ability to make decisions based on God's word, God's will, and God's way. That's what discernment is. Even when somebody's sitting there telling you something, you know, no, that don't sound right. Something about that. I'm not sure about that. I don't think so. It's being able to say, now they're telling me to do this, but it sounds like they really mean this. Now he's telling me he wants to take me to dinner, but why I need to come over his house first? She's telling me she wants to cook me a meal after church on Sunday, but when I get to the door, she's scantily dressed, or she half dressed, or she ain't got no clothes on. Everything is low and tight or short, and her body parts are hanging out. We need to be able to discern what's going on. And it's not always in what people say. When Job's friends came at him saying, man, ooh, you look a mess. You must have done something. You have to be able to discern the big picture. You have to be able to say, God has done too much for me. Job's wife even came and said, look, just go and curse God and die. You're going through too much. You lost everything. You're sick. You look like you ain't gonna make it. Even through the process, even if you're going through HE double hockey sticks, you need to be able to recognize and discern that God is still in control. You need to be able to say, I still won't compromise. You need to be able to say, hold on, something is not right with this. You need to recognize them same old devils coming to you with the same old foolishness. They just have a different name. If you keep on going through the same cycles, the likelihood, same game, different name. They'll come to you with the same old stuff, like Job's friends kept doing. When you have discernment, you're smart enough to watch your moods as well as your moves. Don't let people sway you and throw you off track. But you watch everything that you're doing, because that is exactly what the enemy wants to do, is get you off track. The Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy you. So don't be fooled. You need to be able to recognize the enemy, recognize when somebody's trying to throw you off, recognize when somebody's trying to take you away from the big picture that God has for you. Recognize what it is that God wants to do. Discern everything around you. Abram was able to discern and be smart enough to know, okay, God said move, I got to move. God said go, I got to go. God said he gonna bless me. Time to move. Because in the fourth verse, the Bible says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And that's what we have to do, people of God. We have to go forth when God speaks to us. We need to be able to discern that we're hearing God. And when he says move, make that move. When God says go, go. Or when God says don't do something, we need to know when God is speaking. We need to be able to look at that big picture. We need to be able to operate in the spirit realm beyond what we think and feel. And then the fifth thing that we have to do as we are preparing for the promise is know that when the promise comes, it's not just for you to eat up all of your harvest. Know that when the promise comes, you can't eat up your seed. Because in the promise, in the things that God is blessing you with, when you get it, he wants you to do something with it. Not just, oh, hey, you know, I got all this money now. You only live once. Let's get it. No. When God blesses you with the finances or blesses you with the house, remember that God gives to you so that you can then sow back into the kingdom. If you eat up all of your seed or eat up all of your harvest, what do you have to plant? You have to use wisdom when you get it. Now, at least 10% should be held back to sow again. But remember, the more you sow, the more you reap. The more you give, the more God blesses you. The more you give, the more you get. But at least 10% should be set aside for you to put back into the kingdom. Because, you know, if you don't sow anything and you just eat up all of your harvest, then next time you'll reap nothing. And that's found in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. If you're a sower, the Bible says he continues to give seed to the sower. If you're a sower. Now, if you're not a sower, then you don't need any seed, do you? No, I want God to continue to bless me with seed. That means I need to continue to sow. The more I sow, the more I reap. The more I sow, the more I reap. And it's the law of reaping and sowing. You don't even have to be saved to obey the law of reaping and sowing. You don't even have to be a Christian to obey the law of reaping and sowing. Just like Abraham gave unto Melchizedek. God gave Abraham victory. Melchizedek came along and blessed Abraham. Abraham gave a portion of the stuff that he gained to the king. It's that simple. He didn't even have to be somebody saved or somebody in his household. None of that, because he had already taken care of the household. The household was going to have what they needed because God blessed Abraham and gave Abraham the victory in this war, in this battle. So he had some stuff from going through. But when he got through, going through and got the stuff, he still gave a portion to the king. A lot of us get caught on whether or not it's a law, or whether or not tithing and sowing and giving and all of those things are a law, or whether or not they're an act of worship. But the principle works no matter how you look at it. The principle of giving works. The principle of sowing works. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 13 in your spare time. God gives seed to the sower. So then we don't even have to wonder, how do I get more seed? I need to be sowing. God, give me seed so I can sow. That way we pray accordingly. We pray accordingly. But remember, what do we talk about on today? Preparing for the promise. We have to be obedient to God. We have to have integrity. We have to trust God. We have to utilize discernment. And we have to remember that when our harvest comes, we have to plant. And that way the blessings are ongoing. Now, listen, you guys had an opportunity to call me today. I'm guessing that you guys are taking notes, following along. God bless you. I thank God for you all joining. If you'd like to be a blessing to Campbell Ministries Incorporated or to Eve's Corner, you may simply go to my website, campbellministries.com, and click on the donate button. You may also write me and or send in donations to P.O. Box 16214-39236. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214. The zip is 39236. I am in Jackson, Mississippi. And if you're in the Jackson area and you're looking for a good church home, please stop by the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church. Our pastor is Dr. J.B. Williams. Our assistant pastor is Elder Fred Stewart. We just want to love on you. We just want to teach you about the Word of God. We want to teach you about Jesus. So if you're in the area, please do stop by. Our singles ministry will be on November the 19th, and we'll be bowling on that day. We'll talk about some more details for our next conversation in 2 weeks about exactly what the singles ministry is going to do. Now, y'all remember, God uses single people too. Single folks have a place in the kingdom, a place in God. And single folks, for those of you who are listening today, I hope that this message was a blessing to you so that you can prepare for your promise. I don't want you all to ever think that all the messages are always to the married folks. But listen, God bless you. God keep you. To everyone who is listening, thank you again so much for joining. In Jesus' name, be blessed.